But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you can start lining it up on the phones. How do they beat Tampa, and do they beat Tampa? 301-230-0980. You can give me a final score prediction as well. Denton and I will save ours for the end of the show. I gave you the defensive keys last hour. You've got to stop the run. You've got to stop their screen game. Bucky Irving is really good. I think this Tampa offense is an offense that not just, you know, our fans, but maybe NFL fans in general have been sleeping on. This is a team that, you know, averaged 29.5 points per game. They were the number third down offense in the league. Over the last seven games, and yes, some of the opponents, you know, lacked real ability. They blew out the Chargers. I mean, they had 500 plus yards and 40 points against that Charger defense. This is one of the top offensive teams in the league right now. And they can run it, and they run it in a variety of ways. There's a lot of the counter stuff. When you watched, if you go back and you watch just a couple of the condensed versions on NFL.com of the game, you know, the 30-minute versions, you see a lot of that guard tackle counter stuff with Bucky Irving, with Rashad White even, similar to what we do. A lot of action in the backfield as well. You've got to be able to stop the run, and Bucky Irving makes you miss so much. He's really good at making people miss. He's got quick feet. He's got very good feel in close quarters. They got a very good offensive line. Their screen game is exceptional. And then you got a quarterback that is really good at creating time in the pocket, and he is absolutely deadly with the receivers he has and game changers he has when he extends outside the pocket. This is a big time challenge defensively. My view is you go after him. You don't die a slow death. You don't die a 12-play, 7-minute drive death and hope to hang on in the red zone. You go after them. You try to get them to hurry. And even if it's a chunk play that they go after and a deep shot, we all know deep shots, you know, even when they have an opportunity to hit with protection and man coverage, etc., it's still a hard play to make happen. There are a lot of close misses on those. And so I would go down swinging that way. I would go down swinging with Luvu and Wagner and the most aggressive playmaking players trying to make plays. Then again, you know, you do have to be smart in the screen game, because when you over pursue in the screen game, that's when you get burned. You got to be really good on third down too. They're the number one third down team in the league. This is a challenge defensively, which is why I'll start with on offense. You've got to approach this game. I've said this since the matchup was set up. You've got to approach this game understanding you have to be aggressive. You have to attack. You have to score with the football. You know, if you get 10 possessions in this game, six of them have to end in scores, and maybe seven have to end in scores. You're going to need, more likely than not, 28 plus, maybe 30 plus, to win this game. The good news is they're totally capable of it. We've seen it time and time again this year. Although in recent games, there's been an issue. And the issue is early downs. And so I'm going to start with that. You know, big picture, macro, your offense can't come off the field. You got to be aggressive. That means, by the way, being aggressive on fourth downs and trying to hold on to the football. But you've got to have better success on early downs. The last 2 weeks, you know, against Dallas and Atlanta, too many sacks, too many penalties, too many negative TFLs or short, very short runs. You know, we had all those first and 20s. We had second and 30, third and 30. I mean, it was just constant, you know, trying to overcome, you know, ridiculous down and distance situations because of the lack of early down success. They do it, and they've done it all year, coming over, you know, overcoming long down and distances because they've got Superman at quarterback. But you can't live that way against Tampa. You've got to figure out a way to be successful on early downs. I don't think that's by running the football on Sunday night. I think they've got to throw the ball. I think a lot of quick game. They play a lot of zone, Tampa does. Jaden's been very good against zone coverage. When I say quick game, I'm not just talking about screens. I'm not just talking about quick hitches. There's a lot of quick game where that ball is going into the middle of the field to Zach Ertz or to Terry. I mean, we run a lot of slants, you know, and they've been, and Jaden's been successful with Terry, with Noah Brown, I think with De'Ami Brown. I think De'Ami Brown, by the way, along with Eckler, are the two players I expect to be featured a lot on Sunday night. De'Ami Brown has had basically half of his targets and half of his receptions on the season in the last four games. I understand Noah Brown, you know, got hurt, lost for the season, and that stepped up De'Ami Brown's, you know, targets, etc. But I think they like De'Ami Brown. I think Cliff Kingsbury believes that he has the ability to take the top off the defense on deep shots, but with the ball in his hands, even on screens, on slants, on jet sweeps, on reverses that end up and, you know, end up in passes to other receivers in the end zone. Let's try to catch one of those if they run it. I don't know that they will. Who knows? They may try to run that play that they've run twice this year, including in the opener against Tampa, where they try to throw back to Jaden after a backwards lateral to a guy like De'Ami, you know, who can then go left-handed across the field. For whatever reason, the two times that they've run that play, they've not thrown the ball to Jaden when it looked like it would have been a big, big play. But anyway, have to have early down success. And every time I've said that this year, it's like, I understand in the back of my mind, I've watched number five overcome long down and distances all year long. They're not the typical NFL team that gets off schedule and they're dead. They're not dead, but you can't be in these situations this week. Todd Bowles on a second long or a third and long, the blitzes, and he will come after a young quarterback. He did it in the opener, and the blitzes all look different. He's going to play a lot of zone coverage behind. I think a lot of early down, quick game. Doesn't mean sideways, doesn't mean horizontal throws, but I think slants, I think quick over-the-middle throws to Zach Ertz, this is how you have to attack Tampa. Their weakness is beyond the line of scrimmage. It is in their secondary, even though they may be a little bit more healthy for Sunday night's game than they were last week against New Orleans or just down the stretch in the season. And then, look, this is a game in which you can't wait a half to figure out whether or not Terry McLaurin can be an impact in the game. I'm not an advocate of force-feeding 17. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. And I think against Tampa's secondary, you can find Zach Ertz. You can find De'Ami Brown. You can find, you know, Austin Eckler. You can find anybody else that might be playing in the game. Maybe it's Luke McCaffrey, Jamison Crowder, you know, KJ Osborne. Who knows who will be active and up for it. But you can't be off with Terry. When those chances are there for Terry to make a catch and to move the chains, Jaden and Terry have to be back on the same page. They weren't on the same page for any part of the Atlanta game, and they weren't on the same page in the first half of the Dallas game. They got to get back on the same page, but I don't advocate force-feeding Terry. Todd Bowles is too good. He'll take away Terry early from Jaden and make him go to where, you know, the second and third progression takes him. And Jaden's been great at that all year long. But that connection can't be one catch for 5 yards if you expect to win this game. Lastly, you've got to score touchdowns in this game in the red zone. If you're attacking down the field and you have them on your heels, you know, maybe the time to run the ball is when you get in the red zone. And maybe it's with Eckler. We've seen Eckler at various times this year be effective in the run game in pass down or expected pass down situations. But you've got to score. If you're going to score on 6 of 10 possessions, 3 of them minimum have to be touchdowns. Lastly in this game, you know, I mentioned that Tampa, we had a guest on who mentioned it, and we've reiterated it a few times this week. They're the first team in NFL history to have a 70% plus passer and have a run game go for 5 yards or more per carry. They're going to move the football. And it's going to be important that if they do move the football and if it's chunk yardage and they don't score, you're still going to have those red zone opportunities. The red zone will be big in this game. It was last week. It's the reason they won the game last week, but it wasn't all because of their defense. Trey Lance missed a wide open touchdown to Rico Dowdle at the end of the half. He missed Ferguson. He was late on Ferguson. He was late on Tolbert on one of the throws in the end zone. It's not what Baker Mayfield will be. You've got to score touchdowns. You've got to be aggressive in fourth down situations. You have to catch every ball. Zacchaeus has to catch everything. Terry, you know, everybody that's dropped some passes here in recent weeks, you can't drop them. Because I'll tell you what, if it comes down to both teams are effective moving the football, both teams score, and let's just say they both hit on 50% in the red zone, and it comes down to the actual field goal attempts, that's where I'll leave you lastly with, they've got an excellent kicker. Chase McLaughlin's been at 93.8% on field goals this year. He's also got a big leg. I trust him more than I trust our guy, Zane Gonzalez. There's an advantage there, I think, going into this game if it comes down to a couple of kicks, a couple of red zone stops, a couple of kicks, or a couple of long kicks at the end. 93.8% the dude's been on field goals this year. He is also 8 for 10 beyond 50 yards with a 56-yarder to his credit. It's a challenge Sunday night. But, you know, sometimes in these close, like, they can't stop us, we can't stop them, it comes down to quarterback. I feel good about ours. My prediction, Denton's prediction, later on in the show. But your chance now at 301-230-0980. How do they do it? Your keys to a win, and then do they do it? Do they pull it off? Your final score prediction. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Lance writes, who were the rookie quarterbacks to win playoff games? I had mentioned with Ben on the call with Ben on his guest appearance that 11 rookie quarterbacks have won playoff games. That's it. Post-merger, 11. It's actually 12, but I'll explain number 12 in a moment. But here's the list. C.J. Stroud won a playoff game last year as a rookie. Brock Purdy won 2 playoff games in 2022. And remember, he got hurt in the NFC title game at Philly. John Wolford won a game for the Rams in 2020. Russell Wilson won a playoff game in 2012. We know who that was against. TJ Yates won a playoff game in 2011. Mark Sanchez won 2 playoff games as a rookie in 2009. Joe Flacco won 2 as a rookie in 2008. Ben Roethlisberger won 1 in 2004. Aaron Brooks won 1 for the Saints in 2000. Sean King won 1 for Tampa Bay in 1999. That, too, was against Washington. Pat Hayden won a playoff game in 1976 as a rookie quarterback for the Rams. The one that I left out because he was 34 years old at the time and had played in the Canadian Football League forever, Dieter Brock started for the LA Rams in 1985. They won two playoff games and then got beat by the 85 Bears, got shut out in the NFC Championship game. He was technically an NFL rookie, but he was 34 years old, had played a decade in the CFL. So I don't think that counts. But interestingly, on this list, two of the quarterbacks' wins were against Washington, Sean King in 1999 and Russell Wilson in 2012. And as I mentioned, in the history of the game or in the Super Bowl era, no rookie quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl or even started in a Super Bowl, and only five rookie quarterbacks have made it to an NFC Championship game. That list is Sean King with the Buccaneers in 1999, beat Washington and then lost to the Rams, greatest show on turf in the NFC title game. Ben Roethlisberger in 2005 got to the AFC Championship game. They lost to the Patriots. Flacco in 2009 lost to the Steelers in the AFC title game. Sanchez in 2010 got to the AFC title game where they lost to the Colts. And Brock Purdy got to the NFC Championship game in 2022, losing to Philadelphia, but he didn't play in that game. All right, 301-230-0980. I've given you kind of my ways and keys to a competitive effort and a win Sunday night in Tampa against the Buccaneers. I want from you at 301-230-0980 your keys, how do they win, and then your prediction for Sunday night's game. Let's start with our guy, Billy, in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Billy. Kevin, good morning. This is an exciting time here in the district, as you know, a new era. Kevin, I would say just to start the call, during the new era, you know, we've changed ownership. We've got a quarterback. I don't know what's going on with the name of this franchise, but it's time for a new intro to the Sheehan Show. That would be something I would think for the producer, Denton, to take on. That'd be a recommendation for me as we turn the page on the
path. You know, you're consistent, at least. You have ideas to produce this show basically every time you call in. This one, I am making note of. I like that. Maybe we'll have a deep postseason run of show comments to pick from in the off season. But go ahead.
Hey, listen, we got to have at least one Billy in there. I've got a gem or two out there from the past decade or so on the phone. Listen, you got number one is timeouts. This team has got to do a better job managing their timeouts. Timeouts are more important than personnel changes or yardages or points or penalties or anything. You have to have those three timeouts with 2 minutes left. If this is going to be a close game, which it probably is with two high-powered offenses, those are going to be key for Quinn. The second thing is, and this is it, it's Lattimore. If Lattimore is healthy the whole playoffs, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Final score, 35-21.
Washington.
Let's enjoy the journey.
You got them winning because you got them winning the Super Bowl potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, good job, I got them winning the Super Bowl.
All right, we'll consult you. Hopefully you won't send us an invoice. It'll be gratis, but we will consult you on the new open for next year's show. Let's go to Telly in D.C. Telly, how do they do it? And then a final score prediction.
Hail to the Redskins. Oh, man, yep. Kevin. So yep. how they win? I'm going totally opposite of your game plan. They need to get that running game. The same way that Buccaneers beat us the first time, that's the way our offense should operate. You go on the center, you run pistol, you mix it up. You scheme up the running game. The more your offense is on the field, the better your defense will be, and the less their offense is effective. So you run the ball, you come off a play action, and you do anything you want, quick game, bootleg, whatever. But you start with that running game. Then will it happen? No, it won't happen. Kingsbury and showing me when we were blowing teams out, running game was very effective from the running back standpoint and from Jaden's standpoint. It takes pressure off of Jaden, and he can naturally do what he needs to do instead of being forced to do it. But Kingsbury is, it seems as though he reverted back to the air raid and this shotgun, shotgun, shotgun. We done seen this for years. It does not work. The shotgun, primarily in shotgun, does not work. You have to split up, go on the center, and I'm not mad at pistol, but to keep your quarterback back there in shotgun and letting the defense tee off and be in the backfield and handing the ball off while you're in shotgun is keys to losing. Hell to the Redskins, brother. You be easy.
Thanks, Telly. Appreciate it. I respectfully disagree with that for this game. I mean, I would love for them to be able to line it up against that 3-4 defense and run the football with not only the running backs, but the quarterback as well, because I do think that, you know, you got to have the quarterback involved, designed runs, option runs. Obviously, Jaden's going to, you know, make some hay scrambling, especially against Todd Bowles' pressure. But this is the fourth best rush defense in the NFL. They are terrible against the pass. They have really shut down teams that have run the football, and Washington hasn't been a good rushing team here recently with anybody other than the quarterbacks, and a lot of that yardage has come on scrambles, not, you know, in a true dual threat run attack. So I think you got to attack them through the air, and I think it's a lot of quick game early. It's a lot of quick game over the middle too, not just sideways, not just horizontally, but it would certainly be incredible if they, you know, they win the toss and all of a sudden you see Brian Robinson Jr. rip off from an under center run on a counter, rip off a 6-yard run, you know, and they're able to throw the football, able to run the football, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you've got them in conflict. It's not the way they've done it recently, and this may not be the team. I don't think it is the team where you. I think it's square peg, round hole area, trying to, you know, pound it down the Buccaneers' throats on the ground. Let's go to Walter. Walter, thanks for holding. How do they do it? Do they do it? What's your final score prediction? Go ahead, sir.
Sir, it's always been a pleasure. Absolutely. Telly's got a point. Run that ball. Run that ball. They're not going to be expecting it. They're not going to run. They got nothing on us. Man, what Doc say? Doc said, punch him in the mouth, right at the line. Punch him in the mouth. Create those holes. Always be on top of your game plan, and it'll work. They're effective when they're effective, and they do it well. And I've seen Robinson shoot out 20-yard plays and runs and all that good stuff. But, we will be more effective in a pass play after that. And, yes, sir, I do agree with you, Kevin, we do need to pass more, and a lot of dink and dunks. What is the issue? I tell my son when we're in front of the screen all the time, where are the dink and dunks? You know they're going to rush you, Daniels. Right. They're going to rush Daniels. They're going to blitz them. They're going to try to kill them. Have somebody ready to catch that ball right there at the line of scrimmage or 2-3 yards above it, and get away from that stigma. I mean, we've been failing in that part, like. We can't have Daniels get sacked. It's just, we can't do it. We can't afford it. Defense, on the defensive side real quick, we're great. We just got to prove that we can really cover.
Well, we're not great on the defensive side of the ball.
So when I say great, we're great enough that we've been taking care of business. Obviously, we're not 100% with all the key players that are going to just lock down corners and stuff like Sanistro is on his way. We didn't grab a couple that hopefully will help us for the rest of the games. But all we got to do is lock down and be on top of the game plan. That's all. And then I'm on my way to the game Saturday with my friends. So we're going to be rocking the Burgundy and Gold, and we'll be at the airport rocking it and all night Saturday night. And, of course, through the Sunday game day. Score, I got us at 24-17, won't be a blowout, but it will be very manageable. And I think we'll get it done, man.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let me just just talk about Tampa Bay recently. And obviously their last three opponents in particular, New Orleans, Carolina, and Dallas, are not Washington. We understand that. But against the Saints ran it 40, threw it 42 times, ran it 19 times. Why? Because they couldn't run the football at all against Tampa in a game that was competitive. How did they move the football? They moved it through the air. Spencer Rattler was 26 of 42 for 228 and a touchdown. The game against the Cowboys that they lost, right? Cooper Rush was the quarterback. 30 for Dallas, who has really emphasized balance with Cooper Rush. They weren't balanced that night, and they won. That is not a formula for Dallas, but they threw it 35 times, ran it 20. Cooper Rush threw for 292 and a touchdown. Their rushing yardage in that game with Rico Dowdle, it's his only bad game down the stretch. 13 carries, 23 yards, 1.8 yards per carry. And they won that game. Teams have recognized against Tampa here, you don't want to run up against Vea and Kancey, et cetera, that front. It is difficult. The Chargers, you know, what do the Chargers want to do more than anything else offensively, Denton? They want to run the football. In the game against Tampa, 11 carries, 32 yards. Now, they got behind, although the game wasn't out of control until about midway, late third quarter. The Chargers were actually up at halftime, 17-13. They averaged 2.9 yards per carry against that defense. You know, maybe they catch him off guard. Maybe Tampa's playing for Washington to drop back and throw it, and they're able to run it against really light boxes. But I got to tell you, their ability with their front seven, you know, and their 3-4 to stop the run and to not have to send extra pressure to stop the run or load the box has been impressive. So it's not – it would be a real big surprise – if Washington was able to be effective running the football traditional ways, including the quarterback. I'm not talking about scramble yardage. They may end up with 120 yards rushing in this game, but 80 of them could be from Jaden, you know, with 60 of that being scramble yardage. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, how do they win? Do they win? What's your final score prediction?
Hell to the W, man.
What's up?
Hey, listen, I got a thing for a new show opening. You could just say you don't want it, you don't need it, but you're going to get it anyways.
That's the open to my podcast. Thank you. you know that.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. Hell to the W, man. I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to start it with the offense, man. We just got to have a clean game. Limit the penalties and turnovers. The playoffs, you can't have turnovers in the playoffs, all right? I'm agreeing with everybody. I agree with you, Sheen, about the quick passing game and all that, but let's not just abandon the run. You know, I don't want to be playing on our heels for four quarters, so we can't just abandon the run. And in saying that, I think we need to have some outside runs.
Yes, you know, some early agree read with that.
Early
perimeter.
Early read option. And even if the outside run is quick slot screens to Robinson and Eckler,
yeah,
you know, almost like de facto pitch plays or whatever. You know what I mean? We've run that a couple times this year. So I think we got to get to the outside, to the edges on this defense, man. You know, I like to see us play that up-tempo offense like we played for most of the season. I think attrition is going to be part of this game. You know, and most of all on offense, bro, I want to see Jaden with his cape on. I need Superman on Sunday. I need his legs.
You don't have any doubt that we're going to get it, right?
I don't have any doubt we're going to get it. But I'm requesting it. I'm putting in an early request for it. I need Jaden with his Superman cape on. Like I said, his arms, his legs, and his brain. You know what I mean? So that's what I need on offense. Defense, man, we got to tackle. All right? We can't be having a bunch of missed tackles out there. You know what I mean? The first game, we got some good pressure on Baker. We just couldn't bring him to the ground.
Right.
So we got to collapse the pocket on him, bring him to the ground. You know, we're going to give up points. But what we can't do is give up consecutive touchdowns on drives, man. It either have to be a touchdown here and a field goal here and an occasional third down stop here and there, but we can't give up consecutive points, especially consecutive touchdowns on their drives. And that was leading me to Lattimore. I heard you say earlier about Lattimore as a magic, is he just a mat, whatever you were saying. But no, what it is with Lattimore is he's a quality player. He's a quality player that if Baker does make a mistake, he can get you a turnover.
Sure.
Or he can help you. He can help you on a third down stop. So that's why Lattimore is going to be key, man. And like I said, we got to just force Baker into making a couple of mistakes here and there. Get off the field. We got to score. And I got us winning 37-31, man, on our way to Minnesota. Hell to the W.
On our way to Minnesota because you've got Green Bay beating Philly. That means
I just gave you two games. I just gave you two games in one, baby.
Yeah, you did.
I liked
your first point, and I didn't make the point. Is that if you're gonna run the football, you got to run at the perimeter for two reasons. One, it's your best chance. Two, you got to make Vita Vea and these big guys up front run. You know, you got to make a move early in the game. So I think that you'll see some creative perimeter runs, and it may not be by the running backs or the quarterback. We may see it from Crowder. We may see it from Diami. We may see it from Terry, you know, on some of that. So thanks for that. All right, everybody else on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980 if you want to jump in. How do they beat Tampa Sunday night? Do they beat Tampa Sunday night? A final score prediction. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Big weekend for the Commanders. Obviously, they're going on the road to Tampa Bay Sunday night football. Earlier in the week, Dan Quinn said they would get captains announced on Friday. They would be voted on by the team. Well, we have the names of the players that will serve as captains for Washington. These were voted by the teams, whereas in previous weeks in the regular season, Dan Quinn selected captains each week. It'll be Terry McLaurin, Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, Jeremy Reeves, and Jaden Daniels as captains. Along with that, for the entirety of the postseason, however long or short that is for the Commanders, Doug Williams will serve as an honorary captain as well. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Raiders fired general manager Tom Telesco a day after firing Antonio Pierce. In college football, Notre Dame beat Penn State 27-24 to advance to the college football playoff final. They will play the winner of tonight's matchup between Ohio State and Texas. Abdul Carter of Penn State declared for the NFL draft following the Nittany Lions loss. The NFL announced they're moving the Rams-Vikings game to Arizona due to the fires. Zay Flowers is going to be out this weekend for Baltimore against the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Locally, you get the Caps in action tonight against the Canadiens. Puck drop at 7. The Wizards on the road against the Bulls. Tip off at 8. You can hear that one right here on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.
12 noon, we'll go around and take a quick glance at the other 5 wild card games. I'll have a smell test next hour. And next hour, we'll talk about what we think Jaden will do in his first career win or go home game. Phone lines are open. They are packed. 301-230-0980. Let's try to rip through all of them, Denton. What do they need to do to win? How do they win Sunday night in Tampa? Do they get it done? What's your final score prediction? Ross in Tampa. Ross, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin? So
hey,
I got offense factor, defense factor, and a quick nugget for you. So real fast, as a quick aside, it's a lot easier to get into LSU than it is Notre Dame. Kelly wasn't able to bring in all the 5 stars he wanted because they couldn't academically qualify, because that was a big topic back in Indiana. That's why he is of the
Well, and LSU pays better, too, both legally and illegally.
Yeah, definitely that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. So with the game this Sunday, now, if I didn't just get back from New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, I'd be in there. But, you know, I don't want to go to a late-night game, go home at, like, 1 in the morning, and I get ready for work the next day. So I'm going to watch it from TV. I think on defense, I want to see Marshon Lattimore get into Mike Evans' head. That's, like, the only player in this league that'll get Mike Evans to literally lose control and start throwing punches. You get him thrown out the game, then I don't trust Baker Mayfield to really make anything happen without his star receiver. We win the turnover margin. That's going to help us, too. On offense, You keep that big Tongan Pacific Islander defensive tackle away from our second overall quarterback. Because last time we had a big Islander defensive tackle from Tonga hit our second overall quarterback, it was never the same. Saba Haloti, not on our
team. You go back 12 years for that one, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you keep Vita Vea away from Jaden Daniels, and we're good. So I got us winning the game 24-14. Tampa tries to move the ball down the field last second. We get a pick six by Mikey Sanders still, put the game away. No controversy like the last time we beat these guys because people thought Joey Galloway caught that ball, and he never caught that ball. It was touched by the ground. That was more controversial than the Dez Bryant thing, in my opinion. But that's what I got going on, man. So hail to the Redskins.
Real quickly, what's the vibe down there in Tampa? Do they view this as kind of a toss-up game or not?
They view it as a toss-up game because they also understand that this isn't the same team that they played week one. You know, we played a team that was lined up against the, you know, Detroit Lions last year in divisionals versus a team that just got put together last offseason and they're figuring things out. So they're not taking us lightly. They know it could go either way. So, and just a quick little thing. I think we'll play Philadelphia again, which means we got to get to NFC Championship game. Just quick little prediction on that one.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate it. Yeah, we don't want Vita Vea to turn into a Haloti Ngata, that's for sure. I don't even want to talk about it, actually. Ryland in Canada. Ryland, go ahead.
Good morning, boys. Holy smokes, what a week. So here's how we're going to win this game. It starts and ends with our savior, Mr. Jaden Daniels, number 5, and utilizing those wheels he has and then stretching the field when he has a couple opportunities to hammer something down their throats and a couple daggers. Another thing I'd like to see would be Lattimore all over Mike Evans like a fat kid on a cupcake and not give him any air to breathe. But, yeah, I think the final score is going to be 27-24 Skins. They might have a chance late, but they're not going to make it happen. Let's have a weekend. Let's have a Sunday. Let's move on to next week and talk again soon, boys. Out of the Skins.
Thanks, Ryland. Let's go to Ed in D.C. How do they do it? Do they do it? What's your final score prediction, Ed? Go ahead.
I say that for them to have a chance to do it, they're going to have to get at least 2 turnovers. They're going to have Marshawn Lattimore has got to follow Evans all across the field and play the entire game uncompromised and play at a high level. Offensively, Jaden is going to have to make some plays down the field. They're going to have to get chunk plays because Tampa Bay is going to blitz. And their secondary is their weakness. And so you've got to make some chunk plays with Terry and Deami down the field because that is going to get them to back off on the blitzing somewhat and maybe give them a chance to run the ball. So to me, I think at this stage, I am not as optimistic as you guys are. Because I believe that Washington has by far the worst defense in the playoffs, and I believe Tampa has the second-best offense of the NFC teams. So I'm going to go Tampa Bay 34, Washington 23.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I think, you know, getting big chunk plays down the field could be quick throws and then yards after catch against the blitz. You know, you're going to see, you know, the Buccaneers have played much more zone than they've played man. So those deep shots, even against pressure, you know, against zone coverage, aren't necessarily there right away. What is there are the quick things. And I'm not talking about just line of scrimmage, screens, bubbles, hitches. I'm talking about what we've seen with him when he goes over the middle on slants or to Ertz, who sits down in that zone coverage. I'm not talking about Ertz making big yards after catch plays. Okay, I understood. But Deami can. Terry can. Crowder can. This is where, to me, the true quick hitters, you know, in that, you know, next level, not necessarily line of scrimmage level, I think they can really hurt Tampa that way. Let's go to Jalen in Richmond. Jalen, thanks so much for holding. Go ahead.
Sure thing, Kevin. Good morning. Happy New Year.
You too.
Washington wins if we control time of possession. One of the things that we've done an exceptional job at doing this whole season is converting third down, fourth down. And if we continue to convert third and fourth down at a high clip, I think that that's going to position us to be in a great position to succeed offensively. We also need to protect the football. We need to pressure Baker Mayfield. You brought up tremendous points earlier in the show about how we need to play aggressively on defense. And I think with having Marshawn Lattimore back, I think it's going to be big in terms of, I want to see more press man-to-man coverage, you know, at the line of scrimmage. I want to see us get more hands on receivers to disrupt the timing, you know, between Baker Mayfield and his receivers, especially with, you know, our ability to not hold up in coverage for long. But what that comes with, we got to be able to pressure the quarterback and blitz Baker Mayfield throughout the game and force turnovers. We had our opportunities last week to get our hands on a couple balls and we missed them. So this week it's imperative that we capitalize on just taking the ball away. And then lastly, we have to play exceptional on special teams. When we played Tampa week one, we had a field goal kicking issue. I know we have a different kicker now with Zane Gonzalez, but I really feel like when it comes down to these playoff games, the kicking game is going to be extremely important because every point matters. And when we're in that red zone, yes, I always prefer 7 over 3, but if we're not able to get 7, it's imperative that we convert on our extra points, that we convert on our field goal attempts, and that we play sound kickoff coverage and not give up anything in return game. So that's all of my keys, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call.
No, thanks. Good call.
Let's get this win.
Yeah, good call, and it's a good point. You know, I think some people – I don't think the opener tells us a lot about what we'll see Sunday night, but the game was a lopsided game when we got to midway through the third quarter. But up until that point, if you recall – Washington moved the football. We missed 2 field goals in that game with Cade York, right, Denton? Cade York, I'm pretty sure, was the kicker for us in the opener. And he missed 2 field goals, and one of them late, you know, after a pretty lengthy drive to start the second half, would have made it 16-10 midway through the third quarter. Look, they weren't the better team. They weren't the prepared team. Heat and humidity was a major issue in that opener. It won't be an issue on Sunday night. But, yeah, some of those points are good points. Rod in Landover. Rod, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Hey, real quick. Hey, what's up? I would say this, man. I think the key to winning this game is if Jaden Daniels outplay Baker Mayfield, we gonna win. The first time we played them, it was Jaden Daniels' first game. Baker Mayfield outplayed him. I mean, we could not sack this guy to save our life. And they kept picking up third downs. I remember they had third and long. I mean, we couldn't get them guys off the field for nothing. If Jaden Daniels outplayed Baker Mayfield, we gonna win this game. That's all I gotta say.
Thanks, appreciate it. John in Oklahoma. John, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Kevin, thanks for taking my call, buddy. Hey, we got to keep Mayfield in the pocket, pressuring from the front, not the sides.
Interior pressure, yeah, would be nice.
Yeah, keep him from the front. Don't let him be able to see, you know, don't let him look over the top of them linemen and everything. If they can do that right there, it frustrates him. I did that in Oklahoma, you know, when he played out here. Teams would come, and that's how they would frustrate him. Up the middle, not from the sides, up the middle. The key to Baker. And, you know, football is not going to change ever. Control the line of scrimmage as much as possible. That's where the game's won or lost. I don't care. It's never going to change. Our defense, Ben, don't break. Keep it in front of you. And like you said earlier, Kevin, the run may be hard to establish for us, but we need to in playoff football. But those short passes like you're talking about, that's like in the form of running. It can loosen it up a little bit for the run. And just take care of the football, Kevin. And 33-25. Redskins, and I'm not worried about team we play next. One game at a time. Thanks for taking my call,
Thank
Kevin.
You, John. Appreciate it. I think good points. I think the bend don't break, though, would be a slow death. And I think the bend don't break, not giving up anything over the top, watching Bucky Irving go for 5.5, 6 yards per carry, watching their screen game work. I just think that that's problematic. I don't want that game. You know, I don't want to rely on red zone defense after a 6.5, 7-minute drive. I want number 5 on the field as much as possible. So I'll go down swinging defensively, being aggressive, making them hit some of the big shots. And if they hit them, great. We're getting the ball back sooner. Denton and I will go around the other 5 wild card round games, give you thoughts and quick predictions on both. I've got a smell test coming up, and we'll get back to your calls, final predictions, and really start thinking about, in Jaden's first ever career, and maybe the first of many to come, it certainly feels that way after watching him in 17 regular season games, but in the first true win or go home game, what are you expecting from him? Put some numbers to it. What's his box score look like on Monday? Hopefully it's 1-0 in the win column. But what kind of game does he have? How does he answer this win-or-go-home bell? Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.